Hello, everyone. This is Noah Villaverde here again, host of Blank Green Canvas, the podcast. And once again, this week, I am joined by
John Preston Maffio at your service.
John Preston Maffio, Mothman Jones, back again. It's been 2 weeks since we've had our last episode. We've been obviously pretty busy, but given the timing of it all, it seems pretty fitting given that I'm a bit of an OCD freak since we've covered two episodes on each podcast. So without further ado, we're going to continue our discussion on WandaVision. But before we talk about WandaVision, how are you doing, John?
I've been doing better, but my whole house had COVID before when we were doing the last couple of recordings. I ended up getting it over the past week, and I did okay with it, though. The only thing is that I have no smell. My brother hasn't had smell recover back, and it's been 3 weeks. So I don't know when I'm going to get my smell back. I may never get it back. I'm sure I'll get it back eventually, but thankfully we all got through COVID, and now we can just enjoy our lives again.
Well, I'm continuing to wish you well, obviously, in healing from COVID. A few months back, we had a similar situation with my folks where everyone in the house got it, except for me, weirdly enough, and I had to take care of them, which was a bit of a stressful time, obviously, but you know, like we powered through, thankfully, and thankfully a vaccine is here, and hopefully we can get it into ourselves as soon as possible, if you will. You know, hopefully so once again, absolutely. And I'm glad that you're healing from the whole situation, you know, besides COVID and everything else. Have you been watching anything lately besides WandaVision?
I've been trying to watch a few movies while I've been hanging out, doing nothing in the home. I just watched Saint Maud last night. I watched Willy's Wonderland and Barb and Star, a couple random new movies. I really liked Barb and Star. This Kristen Wiig comedy, laughed a lot. For everybody out there, didn't expect anything from that movie. It's really funny, though.
I might check it out. Yeah, well, if you know, you saw my Instagram story yesterday. I watched all of season one of Ted Lasso, which is on Apple TV Plus and stars Jason Sudeikis. I loved it. I loved this season. I thought it was like a mutual friend of ours, Alan Gunn, told me it's like if Paddington Bear went into like a nice really gritty bar.
Yeah, that makes a lot,
you know,
of sense.
It's a bit of a vulgar show, admittedly, but it's also wholesome in a weird way.
It's so wholesome.
Like it's so, and also like Jason Sudeikis is so good. Like this, I think this might be at least right now, this might be his most defining character. Like he's just so lovable, and it's also, there's a lot of depth to his character as well. You know, I also watched Mythic Quest. Yeah. I also watched Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, which are also on Apple TV Plus, and that was also pretty funny. It's about, you know, it's a workplace satire, but set in like the video game industry. That's pretty good. It stars Rob McElhenney from Always Sunny. Danny Pudi's in it from Community. It's really funny, you know, like, but yeah, Apple TV Plus, I started the free trial and I just had to check out what they have, and I'm liking what they have so far.
They do have a lot to offer, thankfully. It's really cool.
So yeah, both John and I, yeah, we both recommend Ted Lasso. We give it two thumbs up, you know, two thumbs up. So anyways, there's been a lot on WandaVision.
Oh, really?
There has been quite a bit. So let's start with episode 5 on a very special episode, which was a perfect title for this episode, to say the least. It was another decade that they explored. It was the 1980s. Mm-hmm. You know, and
family ties vibes.
Right down. I love how like the theme songs of like 1980s sitcoms always have to end with like the family having a picnic together.
Yeah, with a little crane shot that pans out.
Yes. You know, like in terms of the 80s aspect of the aesthetic, obviously that's what they've been doing really well. They've been doing a good job of bringing to life and paying tribute to all these eras of sitcoms. And also, like, in the title sequence, obviously, one of the things that became a big meme was Baby Vision.
That was so, like, this, even, like, adolescent Vision, just, like, all those little pictures of Vision's childhood just, like, crack you up. It's incredible.
It's wonderful. And with that, like, it's like, so again, we're back into the world of where Wanda has been controlling it, making it like her own life is like a sitcom through the decades. We have her kids, obviously. It's Tommy and Billy, right?
Tommy and Billy, yes.
Yes. And they are having their own little shenanigans. They have, they found a dog and they want to keep the dog. And obviously, it's like a typical after school, like sitcom kind of special. You know, it's very wholesome. But obviously, since we know the context of what's going on in Wanda's mind, there's something sinister from what it looks like.
What part are we referring to with the...
Well, obviously, given the fact that we know, like, obviously we have all of our friends outside of her realm that are trying to take care of it and trying to fix it all. You know, like Jimmy Woo and Darcy, you know, Monica Rambeau. They're trying their hardest to make sure that this could be taken care of with as little violence as possible. Unfortunately for Wanda, she's not having it.
Well,
no.
Well, for one, they tried to shoot a drone at her. They tried to kill, they tried to harm everything that's going on there. Which leads to one of my favorite scenes from the episode when she walks out and says, "Leave me alone." And it's like a big oh shit moment. Oh, she can leave.
I knew the moment she left her own, like, her bubble, I knew something was about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Something was up, you know. And when she pointed all the guns back at that guy, I just realized, whoa, like, what if she's the villain of this show?
Yeah, and also I still wonder, like, the big question is if she's controlling all of this. Like, how much control does she have over everything? And I'm kind of leaning towards she does.
Well, yeah, because clearly it's revealed, is it in that episode or the previous one, where Wanda found Vision's body?
That was the episode before, I thought.
Right. Okay, but yeah, we learned that she found his body shortly after the events of Infinity War because she clearly was still grieving, you know, and through her own way, she brought him back to life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we'll bring it up again when we talk about the next episode, but after she has her little moment with everybody at S.W.O.R.D., she goes back into her world, and then Vision realizes something is really rotten there in Westview.
He has a lot more awareness. And it's quite frankly uncomfortable seeing him become more and more aware of the situation. But it all ends in a big thing, which we'll get to, I'm sure.
Absolutely. They have a bit of a Marriage Story situation. You know, we all know that scene from Marriage Story, you know, where, but this
Every
time
day,
instead of...
I wake up.
Instead of Black Widow and Kylo Ren, it's it's Wanda uh-huh. and it's Vision, you know. And like, for one, we don't stress enough how great of an actor both Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen are. They're great actors,
oh, yeah.
and they're really bringing it here, you know, especially Elizabeth Olsen, I must say. And as it looks like their fight is just about to commence into something really bad, someone knocks on the door.
Ding dong. Who's yeah. there?
Who is it? And like, when this was coming up, I had a feeling, wait, I think I know who this has to be.
I was
know.
So oblivious. I had no idea who it was.
I had a feeling. And then all of a sudden, we see the back of this character's hair.
Did you think it was Aaron Taylor Johnson?
No. Because of the rumors I heard, I had a feeling like, wait.
Right, yeah.
Are they going there? And then when it finally revealed who it was, it's Peter Maximoff, or Pietro, you know. Peter, based from the X-Men universe, but Pietro canonically in the MCU. But he's played by Evan Peters.
It's
and he goes on, and he does this weird, like, Fonz style kind of, like, entrance, you know.
Who's the popsicle?
You know, and I gotta say, like, when I first saw that scene, I screamed. Like, I was like, yes.
Oh,
I can't,
it?
Like, oh, man.
It's crazy. The way your mind just starts to, like, we can do, like, a whole 2 hours about this whole little thing, what they're trying to set up, whether it is just kind of, either they're setting up something a lot bigger with this, or it's just kind of fun because it makes sense within the context of the story of, oh, they recast, because they always recast in sitcoms with, like,
right.
Aunt Viv and, like, Fresh Prince and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I love Darcy's delivery there where she said she recast Pietro, you know, and that obviously, talk about a great cliffhanger to leave on, because I was so eager for the next episode, mainly because I just wanted to see how Evan Peters factors into the situation.
Right.
You know? So which leads us into the next episode, which is a very special Halloween special, if you will.
Yeah, and I love the Halloween episodes.
I love Halloween episodes. Oh, yeah. And the 1990, it's a 90s aesthetic, obviously, you know, so it's kind of following that super cool, like I'm totally awesome and rad, if you will, kind of scenario. Totally. And it's in this way, it actually has the kids as the main characters in this show, if you will, like they're narrating to the camera,
yeah,
you know, kind of like Malcolm in the Middle, even though that was a 2000 show.
It brings us closer into their characters too, which I'm sure, I don't know if it's going to lead to a lot more tragedy later on, if we're going to feel worse about things.
Especially if it looks like it could adapt the House of M story. That would be really interesting. But we'll see how that turns out. But like, so we're in their house. It's the 90s. You know, it's Halloween, and they have their costumes. And of course, like, Wanda walks down the stairs, and she's wearing her actual comic book costume with the headpiece and everything else. For one, yes, it's a Halloween costume, but how great does it look? Like, for the kind of vibe they're going for.
It looks perfect, honestly. I didn't read the comic books for like the X-Men or anything like that, but like just like the way they did it and paid homage to it, it's perfect.
Yeah, they found a way to do it really well, you know. And also Vision, you know, his own version of a Halloween costume, it's paying tribute to the original design
wrestler.
Even though like the actual design for Vision is pretty faithful to the comic already, this take, you know, it does it even more. And speaking of Quicksilver, Evan Peters, he's kind of like the slacker uncle, you know, in this episode. Like, he's the fun side character
everybody loves to, like, make fun of and also wants to, like, hang out with.
Bit of a man-child. I gotta say, Evan Peters blends in really well in this universe.
Oh, energy is, it brings really fun vibes. Like, for sure.
Not just because he has the... He has like the weight behind it, because those who know where he's from, at least in terms of casting, we kind of know what's up a little bit. But then again, Marvel might be punking us still.
It might be.
But at the same time, like, he really blends in well, and like I really love his scenes, especially with Wanda. Mm-hmm. You know, like I also love his Halloween costume, paying tribute to the Quicksilver design of the comics as well with the hair.
Yeah, it took me a minute, but I was like, I recognized it too. I was like, oh yeah, with the stripe and the...
Yes, you know, and then we see there's like a big Halloween gathering in Westview, but Vision is still like, he's still uncertain about everything that's been going on, because he found out about like all of the friends that he and coworkers and neighbors that he has, that they are under Wanda's control.
He straight up touches them. Wanda at this point.
Oh yeah. Typical sitcom situation, but understandable in Vision's case. So he goes off towards the corner of Westview, and he sees, you know.
I mean, I'm doing it for the video, but.
Of course. Yeah, you're doing the gesture, and it's just like they're just doing a GIF or GIF or whatever, you know, and it's really like.
So cute.
Yes, indeed. And it's not cute. But then. Oh man, it's really sad, like what's been going on with everybody in that's not aware that they're under the control of Wanda in this situation, you know. And Catherine Hahn, he runs into Catherine Hahn like in her car, and it's a scene that we saw and it's a scene that we've seen in the trailer where Vision is approaching her, and she sees him. It's like, oh my goodness, you're an Avenger, you're here to save me. And Vision comes up and he's like, wait, what's an Avenger? And then it really
recollection of anything.
And it really ties things back again to like, oh yes, the Vision that we were close to is permanently gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Vision Groot. It's kind of like Groot, and it's like Gamora, you know, from Infinity War and Endgame. The version that we grew up to know is gone, but in continuity wise, still out there.
Right.
And everything else, which I love. It's kind of their way of still keeping stakes, you know, but like also trying to keep characters involved, even though it's the same actor coming back. Yeah. Some might argue the stakes aren't as drastic, but I still think it works out. And it adds a lot of context to the whole world of what's going on and what really is twisted in Wanda's mind.
Right.
And once Vision realizes it, like, let's talk about that scene where Vision tries to get out of the bubble.
So we basically know that he's dead, and like the only thing keeping him animated and alive is Wanda. Like, she's like his battery source. But like, it looked almost like the fate he was suffering there was worse than in Infinity War. He's just slowly being chipped away, like, as he's trying to tell these people, save everybody, what are you doing? And they're all like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, even like the guy Hayward's like Darcy's the only one who's kind of like, listen to him. And they're like, no.
It is a scary situation to be involved in. And you could feel the pain in Vision's in Vision's face when he's trying to reconcile with the situation. But obviously, we go back into Westview during Halloween night. You know, Wanda is with Pietro and her kids. And we see one of their kids are already have powers. You know, one of them can run fast, just like their uncle. And the other is telekinetic. And one of them realizes that their dad, Viz, is off somewhere and he's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And once Wanda realizes this, it gets drastic.
One, she gets angry at Pietro. And then two, she starts expanding the hex, which is insane.
Yeah. Some people, because I think it was this episode where a scene leaked.
Well, when she hits Pietro with...
Yeah, and some people took that as, oh, did he kill him? No, I don't think she killed him. I think she just stunned him. You know, he's going to come back.
People are also saying, why is he prying her so bad for information?
Yes. Like there's that moment...
He is?
Yeah, there was that moment where Pietro, like, confronts her, you know, where they they confront each other. Wanda is looking at him, and then she asks him, hey, what happened to your accent? To which he replies, what happened to yours?
Yeah.
Which was a nice little moment. And then it adds more to the mystery of what, are you the Pietro or the Peter Maximoff we met from the X-Men universe? Are you somebody else that just happens to fit in well here as a means to misdirect us?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? You know,
a lot of questions.
As all the chaos kind of coalesces, Wanda realizes what she needs to do in order to protect what she wants. So she expands the bubble.
Big question here, though. How far can you expand if she could do that? Like, she put a lot of mileage on that expansion. She started hitting, like, gas stations, and, like, she went pretty far. What's to say she could just keep going?
Yes, and then that's how the episode ends. And I don't know if you saw this theory, John, but apparently there's a theory out there in which, what if it's like Magneto pulling the strings and this is how the mutants are created?
Magneto pulling the strings?
Yeah, it's like, what if he is the, what if this is or somebody else that's pulling the strings and this is actually how mutants are created? Because what if the people in the bubble, because remember Monica, when she leaves that bubble, you know, like.
Yeah, her cells are like being formed around and going crazy and she's developing.
What if this is the creation of the mutants in the MCU?
I wouldn't hate it. It's
I wouldn't hate it either.
It's weird, but I don't think I hate it. It's a new way. If you're gonna do it, it seems like a fun way of integrating them in. But I don't know it's a lot of questions there. Like, how do you get Wolverine, who has the whole Stryker situation? Like, how do you?
Yes.
What are the origin stories for all these characters? If that's how this happens.
And at the same time, as interesting of a theory that is, I still believe Pietro, that we know here as Evan Peters, I'm still holding on to the belief that he actually is from the X-Men world.
I think it's something else. I'm disagreeing in the sense that I think he's a red herring. Like, he's somebody else disguised as that. So it's fun for us, the viewer, but he's really not him.
Oh, that's an interesting way to take it. That's a really cool way to kind of like, you know, kind of play meta for the viewer's sake, but not too meta to where it's distracting. That would be interesting.
I think it is telling us that there's something out there multiverse wise, but it could, I think they're throwing us for a big loop right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he survives this though. We'll see. Like, and if he actually becomes Quicksilver,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the MCU, which would be, because I'm I already loved him in the X-Men movies. I'm really liking him here. I just think he brings an interesting dynamic, whole. Yeah, but I need the next episode already. Like, each cliffhanger gets more and more exciting.
The cliffhangers are getting insane. Well, another thing too. Monica keeps mentioning this this engineer or whatever that they're gonna go.
Oh, right.
People keep saying it's somebody really big. Like, it might be Reed Richards or something, like Fantastic Four.
If it's Reed Richards, that would blow my mind. I don't think they've come that far yet in regards to casting Fantastic Four actors yet.
You don't think they're going to do anything that cataclysmic yet in this show?
They could surprise us. I mean, this show has been surprising every week, lately. But I'm not sure if they're... Maybe a reference to like a Baxter Building or something like that, because I believe the Fantastic Four exists already.
Okay. Probably. You don't think they are pre-origin? You think they're already?
I'm curious to see how the Fantastic Four are implemented into the MCU overall. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. Like, it would be cool if it was Reed Richards. That would blow my mind, and I would get excited. But I'm curious to whom she's referring to. I mean, that's what's great about the show format for the MCU. There are little details that we don't notice on the first viewing because we're just kind of caught up on everything, like Monica's partner that she has and everything else. But I gotta say, like, I'm really loving the show overall so far. Marvel is really exciting us with like this new venture that they're doing with the Disney Plus shows, and I am eager to see what comes next. So overall, what do you think of the episodes, both of them?
I really like both of them. I think, again, they continually become higher stakes and higher in characters and higher in just entertainment value as it goes on. They're finding a way to escalate everything where we're at the point now where it feels like every time there's a new episode that ends, it's like,
oh yeah,
like it's like you're sitting there like, is it next week? And apparently, I don't know how true this is, but I think apparently every episode from now on is going to be an hour long, which if that's true, that's nuts. Oh. That's insane.
I can't wait.
Are they going to do it in an hour? 3 hours worth of, like, that's true. But they're doing a really good job of keeping people on the hook, but giving you, they're every week they're doing a lot more to keep you pulled in, but also they're having a lot of fun with the whole sitcom still. I don't know how much longer they're going to do a sitcom situation.
I think they're going to do maybe 2000s, and that'll probably be the last one.
Yeah, I feel like one of the commercials had, like, a Modern Family vibe.
Modern Family, or even like The Office kind of vibe, because I heard that there's going to be an episode that's done in the mockumentary style.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, so there's that coming up. But yeah, like, I'm loving the show, and it's clear that you're really enjoying it as well. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to more of it in the next 3 weeks. Wow, 3 weeks.
And then we go, we've been flying through this, honestly.
Absolutely. That's what I'm loving about the weekly release format with this and Mandalorian and other streaming services that have been doing it with weekly releases. I prefer it, honestly, because it gives more time for people to catch up, to be caught up. And then the weekly discussion has the discussion lasting longer for the shows instead of just binging it all at once.
Absolutely. The water cooler vibe brings a big thing to it.
Yeah, and it's bringing it back, especially since we're still kind of dealing with COVID, obviously. Like, it's an opportunity for us to chat with our friends online about, like, what we saw last week, mm-hmm. and speculate every week in a way that is exciting. That's the difference from a whole movie releasing every year, where we speculate for a whole year, about one little detail. This one, it prolongs it for, like, each week, like, oh, what do you think is going to happen next? And it's been a while. I guess maybe the last season of Game of Thrones was the last time something at this big of a scale, besides Mandalorian and this, obviously, in regards to the water cooler discussion.
It's fun to have, I wouldn't call this event television, but it is it is big enough. Apparently it's the biggest show watched in the world right now. So what do I know? But it does feel like we're getting towards event level discussion where it is like Game of Thrones, the last couple seasons where people, feel like everybody was talking about it every week.
Yeah, and I'm eager for what's coming next. So that was our discussion. That was our discussion of WandaVision in the last two episodes. There's going to be 3 episodes left. And I just wanted to say thank you again, John, for joining again on this discussion for Blank Green Canvas.
thank you for having me on again. I love doing this with you.
Of course, and I love doing this with you, man. And once again, we wish you well in your continued recovery. We hope you get your sense of smell back.
Thank you, hopefully.
Yes, and of course, before we wrap this up, where can people find you?
You can find me pretty much everywhere on social media and on YouTube at Mothman Jones. That's one word. And yeah.
Thank you very much, John. And once again, I am Noah Villaverde. And in the meantime, as you're listening or watching this podcast, I released the second part of my Pixar retrospective video just a few days ago. It took a few copyright claims to kind of get it properly uploaded. If you're a YouTuber, you understand. And it sucks, but I finally got it up and I'm pretty happy with how both these videos turned out, you know, and it was really like the thing about editing videos like that, and you may know this, the hours go by quick, but oh, yeah, you enjoy it like, but
so fast,
but it's enjoyable at the same time. There's something enjoyable if you're really loving what you're putting together. And I loved editing this one in particular together. You know, I definitely hope you guys check that one out. Hope you guys give that one a like and a subscribe. Just to let you know, if you like our videos overall, it helps us in the algorithm and it will promote us and it will motivate us to continue posting more content and growing our audience together and growing a more bigger community. Maybe not in the same way Wanda is in the episode, but
Yeah, we'll give everybody equal treatment, unlike in WandaVision.
Yeah, don't worry. We're not going to control you guys and turn you into our slaves to do everything for us. We won't. For real, we won't do that. Yeah, but like, yeah, like we'd really appreciate it. So it's Mothman Jones and any social media for John. And for me, you could follow me here and subscribe to Blank Green Canvas on YouTube. Check out my latest Pixar videos and also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and social media. I'm Noah_Villaverde. And on Facebook, it's also Blank Green Canvas. So until next time, I am Noah Villaverde of Blank Green Canvas.
And I am John Matthew Mothman Jones.
And we will see you again in the next podcast.
See you then.
Take care.